Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, this week, scores of Florida seniors saw their frustrations mount as they tried and tried, often without success, to make an appointment to get vaccinated for COVID-19. You know, Tom, we've seen it everywhere, from those coveted slots at public stores to the openings the states had at fairground sites and malls to county health departments. Seniors across the state say trying to get the vaccine has been a nightmare as they get repeatedly shut out of appointments through all of these various sign-up opportunities. Experts say they can expect more of the same for several more weeks.
Yeah, even some who had appointments to roll up their sleeves saw those dates canceled as some vaccination sites just ran out of doses. You know, state and local officials say the problem is one of supply. Not enough vaccine is coming into the state of Florida to meet the overwhelming demand. Meantime, the rising infection rate and death toll and new variants of the virus are only causing more worry. Over the past week, more than 70,000 Floridians have tested positive for the disease, and fewer people have been vaccinated compared to just a week earlier. Now, later on this hour in the program, we'll talk about how the Biden administration wants to use federal agencies like FEMA and the National Guard to ramp up vaccine distribution and what that might mean for those still waiting for a vaccine here. But first, the challenges that Florida continues to face in rolling out a COVID vaccine program. So, have you received the shot or maybe both doses? Have you had a vaccination appointment made only to be canceled? Have you had to wait in line? Have you had no problem at all and it's been a smooth experience? Share that vaccination experience with us, 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We're at Florida Roundup.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome Dr. Richard Rothman. He's chairman of hospital medicine and head of Cleveland Clinic Florida's COVID Operations and Recovery Task Force. Doctor, thanks for being with us on the Florida Roundup. Hi, Dr. Rothman. Can you hear it? Hi, Dr. Rothman. Thanks for being with us on the Florida Roundup.
Hi, Melissa and Tom.
Good to have you.
Thank you guys for having me.
So good to have you on the show. You know, Doctor, state officials say they're scrambling to vaccinate as many people as they can, as quickly as they can, but they're blaming the federal government for not providing enough supply. The Biden administration says it's going to increase supply under the Defense Production Act. You're in charge of a task force on this. Tell us, what are the biggest challenges logistically around the state right now as the state is dealing with not enough supply of COVID vaccine?
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. That's a great question. And the introduction highlighted much of the frustration that's out there throughout the state. Taking a step back, there's hope, right? The arrival of the first COVID-19 vaccines have sparked excitement and anticipation, and demand is high. However, the number of vaccines available today is very limited. On December 23rd of 2020, Governor DeSantis, under his executive order, opened up vaccine to those individuals over the age of 65, those living in long-term care facilities, in addition to vulnerable patient populations and healthcare providers. In the state of Florida alone, we have nearly 5 million people over the age of 65. In addition to that, the number of vulnerable patients is likely to be a similar 5 million, if not more. And so being able to get shots into every patient's arm with a finite supply and infinite demand at this time is just not possible.
And do you think
it
could...
Cleveland Clinic, Florida.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead with your thought about Cleveland Clinic, Florida, and then I'll continue. Go ahead.
So Sure. The Cleveland Clinic, Florida, on Christmas Eve, digested this governor's executive order with an understanding that it was going to be not just challenging, but it would likely be impossible to be able to provide the doses and to dedicate personalization of the vaccination process to every patient that wanted a dose. And so with that being said, go ahead. I'll open it up to your
sure.
next question.
Now, it's our understanding that at your facility, Cleveland Clinic Florida, you vaccinated nearly 20,000 people so far, both patients and caregivers. You mentioned that the governor he's working to vaccinate nearly 5 million seniors. He put out a statement today saying they're closing in on nearly 1 million seniors vaccinated. At the same time, the Centers for Disease Control says Florida has given out less than 25% of the 1.14 million doses it has received. The governor is attributing this to hospitals not moving to dispense the shots quickly enough. We're also hearing the state might be moving vaccine distribution away from hospitals and more to state-run sites. As someone who's working on a task force in this effort, what can you tell us about this?
The healthcare systems today have not been resourced to provide this type of public health service. In partnership with the Department of Health, the Cleveland Clinic, Florida, has been able to vaccinate nearly 20,000 people in just under 4 weeks. With that being said, the resources necessary to be able to allocate shots and support the demand for these patients takes a true team effort. As you may be aware, Cleveland Clinic Florida and many hospital systems received vaccine prior to the departments of health receiving vaccine. So the healthcare systems played the role of primary distribution sites here in the state of Florida. This is going to take an ecosystem to be able to get as many shots into those arms of individuals who are interested in receiving the vaccine. That being said, healthcare systems, retailers such as Publix, CVS, Walgreens, as well as our departments of health, are all standing up their infrastructure to be able to support this massive effort. We do need to do more.
Doctor, when you say do more, I'd like to get your reaction to the governor. He's attributing this sort of bottleneck of vaccines to hospitals, private hospitals, not moving quickly enough to dispense all of the supply. Can you confirm that? Where do things stand with that? And could that be why perhaps the state is moving more vaccine distribution away from private hospitals and into the state-run sites that they are setting up?
Yes, it's a great question. You know, Melissa, that has not been our experience. We are inoculating close to 5,000 to 6,000 patients a week right now throughout Cleveland Clinic, Florida. We are not receiving new doses from the state this week. Because of that, we are not able to open up additional appointments for patients who are interested in receiving the vaccine. Other healthcare systems have closed off their appointment sites because they have not been allocated vaccine. There is opportunities to continue to refine our processes. Within the Cleveland Clinic, Florida, we have not been limited by our ability to give shots. We have been limited by our ability to receive doses.
With, you know, the new variant of the virus that is now out there, the long wait time for a vaccine, seniors' anxiety is through the roof. As we urge people to remain patient, it's certainly becoming more difficult for them. What is your hope for what we might see in the coming weeks from the new Biden administration promising to increase vaccine supply under the Defense Production Act?
Hope is a great word, Melissa, in this case. And we are hopeful that we will begin to receive more vaccine with the administration's change in posture on how they are approaching allocating the vaccine from the federal level to the states, as well as partnering with the states to provide resources to get shots into arms.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. He's Dr. Richard Rothman, Chair of Hospital Medicine and Head of Cleveland Clinic Florida's COVID Operations and Recovery Task Force. Doctor, thank you.
Right, thank you very much, Mother.
We did invite the Florida Department of Health to appear on our program, and we provided some questions in advance at their request. The agency declined our invitation, citing the unprecedented nature of the COVID-19 response. We'll get to some of your phone calls and experiences, 305-995-1800, in just a moment. Dr. Todd Husty is with us now, Seminole County Medical Director. Doctor, welcome to the program. A week ago, over 1,000 people in Seminole County were getting vaccinated. On Wednesday of this week, 604 people received doses, including those getting second shots. Why such a dramatic drop, almost a 40% drop in a week?
Well, I think we just heard it's a supply problem. Our county, and thank you, by the way, for having me on, and also for spreading the word, because this is all about educating the public on something that we've not experienced before. If you're not 103 years old, you have not been through a pandemic. So it's all a supply problem, and we just need more supplies. Quite frankly, the emergency operations folks and our health department folks who have been so good setting this up, it's a Swiss watch, really. It's just unbelievably smooth operation, is stymied. We just don't have enough doses, which, you know, we're ready. They've been gearing up to do more than 1,000, more than 2,000, more than 3,000 a day. I asked them what the limit is, and they said, maybe 10,000 a day. I mean, wow. That's a lot of doses. By the way, I do think that our hospital partners in Central Florida have been very good with the doses they have. I think the other health departments have been really good with the doses they have. So I kind of keep my finger on the pulse or my ear to the rail, perhaps. And I think everybody's doing really well getting the vaccine out, the doses that they have. The problem is getting doses.
So when we hear and look at the statistics of 1.3 million Floridians receiving doses, and according to the Centers for Disease Control, 2.5 million doses have been distributed, where are those other doses?
So where we're at in Seminole County is a two-story department store that's been vacant for a while. Almost the entire upstairs is people inputting data into Florida Shots to keep track of the people. It's a huge, huge endeavor, and it takes a lot of work. We know that there's a lag period between getting the vaccine into people and getting it input into Florida Shots. So just like there's been a lag period with testing and the reporting of the testing, well, there's a lag period with getting them the vaccine and the reporting of that vaccine. So we know that there's a lag period. I can't tell you that I can account for everything that hasn't been given. Yeah. I do think some of that was the holdback to make sure that the people that got their first dose are getting their second dose. I know that
Dr. Husty, I'm going to interrupt you just because our time is tight, so government. I apologize. Let me ask you about the planning and the communication from the state. You are a county EMC medical director in Seminole County. 9 Democratic members of the Florida congressional delegation sent a letter today to Governor DeSantis about concerns of the vaccine rollout. And they write that, quote, the state has not been transparent about its distribution plan. Do you agree? Are you getting the information you need in order to communicate effectively to Seminole County residents about vaccine availability?
Not entirely. I would agree that we have had a lot of surprises. Things have changed. We thought we were getting this, but then ended up getting that. Thought we were going to be vaccinating these people, and then that changed. So we've had some surprises, and I would say that everybody is sort of, you know, trying to be as nimble as possible. But as far as what doses we're getting next, it's been kind of quiet. And kind of too quiet. We can do what we need to do. We can be nimble. We can change, even with not stellar communication, but okay communication. We can figure this out. We just need to know how many doses we're getting.
About a quarter of Seminole County's population, 65 and older, have been vaccinated. Statewide, only 17% of seniors have been vaccinated. What can the state learn from your work?
Oh, I would still say that Alan Harris and Donna Walsh, the EOC, head of the EOC, Emergency Operations Center, and the Health Department, respectively, They were all over this months and months ago with the plan, with what's going to happen. Did we have a crash the first day we opened up? Yeah, we had to get two more servers to handle the onslaught, which nobody really predicted just how many people were going to try to get on all at once. And we added more telephone operators. But then the actual process, how you come up, how smooth it is. I keep getting people congratulating me on what a great job I did. And I have to tell them, I didn't do it. They did. And yes, it was a great job. I've had my two vaccines, and I was smiling big time on Monday when I got my second dose.
Yeah. So those are the voices of people who've been successful in navigating the system, of course. And there's, unknown numbers of folks that have been unsuccessful.
That is true, although we do have a couple of other ways to do this. And on my Florida conference calls with EMS medical directors, there are ways we're trying to accommodate those people who are technologically challenged. There are telephone numbers they can call. I talk with a lot of senior groups, of which I'm a member because I'm 69. And one senior said, get on the website and then choose to have text notification. And then they'll text you with the link, and then you just click on it as soon as it comes onto your phone, and you'll be first in line. Are we still going to have people that can't get them? Yeah, we don't have enough doses. Give us the doses. We'll get everybody vaccinated.
What are you expecting in the next week for Seminole County then? Do you know anything about the number of doses?
Yeah, we have announced that we only have 1,600 doses for the entire week. So we were doing about 1,000
so
a day.
So just for comparison,
1,600 for the week.
Yeah, and two weeks ago, you were doing 1,600 vaccinations a day. Wow, very significant change there. Dr. Husty, we're going to leave it there. Yeah, Dr. Todd Husty is the medical director, the EMC medical director at Seminole County in Central Florida. Doctor, thank you for your time.
Thank you for what you do. Appreciate it.
What a big drop off in supply, Tom. And I think the whole nation has its fingers crossed that at the federal level, that supply can be quickly ramped up. Here is a tweet from a listener. I'm a patient at UF Health Jacksonville. They texted me to call them for an appointment. It was easy, except for the 20-minute wait on the phone. But my two appointments were a breeze with a courteous customer service person. Tom, it's been horrible for so many, but for a few out there, they have had an easy time of it. But they are certainly in the minority.
Indeed, it is, the 20-some-odd thousand folks, for instance, that were successful in making appointments at Publix this week when Publix pharmacies opened up appointments, as opposed to the 250,000-plus folks who tried to get those appointments. So 1 out of 10 were successful, for instance, in that kind of demand. And it is just an enormous indication of the appetite and, I think, Melissa, to some degree, perhaps the expectation over the past early in this vaccine rollout of some about the ability to be able to avail themselves of a vaccine in their community.
That's right. We want to hear your stories. 305-995-1800. More of your calls and tweets on the challenge of getting that COVID vaccine. We've got more experts lined up. And later in the hour, the role of the feds in all of this here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. Florida has received 2.5 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Only about half of those are in the bloodstreams of Floridians, though, according to state data. So where are the rest? Have you tried to get vaccinated? Have you had an appointment changed or canceled? Have you been successful in your effort to get inoculated? 305-995-1800. Your phone call's coming up in moments. 305-995-1800.
Let's go now to Dr. Jay Wolfson. He's professor of public health, medicine, and pharmacy, senior associate dean at the USF Health Morsani College of Medicine. Dr. Wolfson, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so as we just heard from Tom, more than a million doses still to be put into arms in Florida. Do you think that everyone who's got a vaccine supply around the state should just release them at once? People are worried about getting those second doses. What do you think should be done to resolve all of this?
Well, first, let's remember that we're only 1 year into this pandemic and understanding it, and we know a lot less than we know. Almost every week, we learn something new about how the virus behaves, whether there's a new strain, something about how it's being administered. So it's still young. You know, we've had an awful lot of experience in this state with hurricane management. We're really, really good at that. Mm-hmm. This is a new game for us, and we're relying not just upon our local resources to respond in ways that they've learned how to, but with a partnership with the federal government and private sector and a statewide and a nationwide issue. So we're learning as we go. And the biggest challenge is that we haven't had a national plan with logistics and strategic details and then tactical details. And we really haven't had a state plan either, because I think the state was kind of waiting for the feds. We're moving forward now, and we learn as we go. We actually have the capacity to know where every single dose of this thing is, because every vial is barcoded, and those barcodes are registered. We know physically where they are. And when each of us gets our vaccine, there's a national database that has just been created so that my name and my demographics and that barcode from that vial are placed in there, so they know who got which dose from which vial when, so they can follow up with me in 21 or 28 days. So that if there's a bad set of vials, they can follow up with adverse events, and so they can continue to communicate. We haven't had an integrated, effective, transparent, and useful messaging system. And as a consequence of that, people really aren't sure what to believe any longer. For 11 months, people at the highest level of federal and some state governments, and even some of our community church groups, were saying, this is not real, don't worry about it, it's fake.
We the virus itself,
members, especially
sure.
African Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have African American community members who have always been skeptical of federal initiatives around vaccines after Tuskegee, and getting that significant population to recognize that this is real requires a dynamic outreach event. So this is more complicated than anything we've ever done. And the expectation is, yes, we need more vials. You can't give what you don't have, but you also can't give it effectively unless you have a real plan that's operationalized between the federal, state, and local resources that need to be able to do this well.
The new Biden administration says it's going to make a sharp break from the way the Trump administration has handled this pandemic, that they will have a comprehensive strategic plan, that they will lead on this massive vaccination effort. New President Biden says this is like a wartime effort. How do you see this hopefully improving the rollout planning? And what do you see as the biggest challenges for the new administration and how they interface with states like ours?
Well, I'm going to agree with Dr. Richard Rothman. Hope and hopefully is a very important word here. I think what we've lacked is a federal guidance that's clear and consistent and that's transparent. What we plan to do, how we're going to do it. You know, but producing more vaccines through the Defense Act is not as easy as producing more masks. The production of the vaccines requires a lot more technical competency, but we can do that. And with Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca coming out within the next, hopefully, 60 days, we'll have more product. But the federal government has to coordinate distribution more effectively. It has to coordinate with the states more effectively, and the states have to rely more substantively upon relationships with the federal government, because they can't do it alone. So the President Biden's talking about coming into the states, is coming into all the states, coordinating with all the governors, establishing sites in each location that are going to be not only staffed, and we need lots of staff to do this. So you have to hire people, you have to train them, you have to deal with the logistics of getting people to the sites, you have to reach out to communities that are at high risk and that are skeptical that are untrustworthy of what's going on, and bring them in. And this is, as Todd said earlier, I mean, this is what you're doing right here. You are educating the public, which is so important. Got to have product, got to have distribution channels, have to have the integrity of logistics. And that means transparency, good messaging, overcoming trust, and really depoliticizing this. I think we can do this.
Dr. Wolfson, we've got some phone calls.
We're so early in the process, so we're going to skin our knees.
Apologies for the interruption, Dr. Wolfson. Tom Hudson, let's speaking of communication, we've got some phone calls. Audrey in Sun City, you are up on our red line. Go ahead, Audrey. You're on the radio.
Yes, good morning or good afternoon. Hi. I am entirely tired of the rhetoric. Have you analyzed how many people you have on saying the same things over and over? It's all being passed on from one agency to another, from one state to another. I suggest that somewhere there must be someone in charge. I hope they find them. I live in Sun City. There are thousands of people here. I've had friends who have dialed over 300 times. I'm on the third system. I still do not have an appointment. And I hope someone gets it straight and figures it out.
Yeah. Audrey, we share your frustration, definitely. And we have contacted the Department of Health weekly for months now, asking for representatives to come on to speak with us regarding any number of matters on the pandemic as it relates to Floridians. A few weeks ago, we did have the State Department Emergency Director, Jared Moskowitz, on this program. He is responsible for the state distribution, but as Dr. Wolfson pointed out, there are a number of different distribution avenues. State Department of Health, county governments are involved. Melissa, I know, you know, just a week or so ago in your neighborhood, the city of Jacksonville had gotten involved in vaccine distribution.
And then they ran out.
Separate side. And then there's the entire separate side with Walgreens and CVS, which is a federally run system for long-term care facilities.
Yeah. Here in Jacksonville, the mayor here did set up some local sites, some additional local sites, and then they ran out of supply. Absolutely right. This is the same story everywhere, which is why, you know, we're just trying to connect listeners out there to the subject matter experts we have on the show today as we all wait the next phase of this. The frustration is everywhere, Tom. What else can we say?
Indeed. Yeah. Jeff in Sarasota, we'll come to you next. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes. Thank you for the call. We've had our first shot. And for those of us that had shots on the 29th, 30th, and 31st, we had appointments set up for second shots. Received the shot at the Department of Health here in Sarasota. It went very smooth, and it seemed to be well organized. Expectations were, you know, really great as we left. And then we got a notice basically saying, disregard your second appointment. The governor put out a new sign-up system this week. Thousands of people signed up. That's great. Those of us that had appointments were told we don't need to sign up, that they would be getting back in touch with us to schedule those appointments. But I've heard no one raise the subject of second shots specifically and what we can expect going forward. So we've got shots, second doses that are to be given next week and the week after for those of us that got the shots in late December. But we don't have any idea of whether we're going to get those shots, how long they're going to be delayed. If they're delayed, and they're delayed by a great deal, are we going to have to go through the process all over again?
Yeah. Great questions, Jeff. Big concerns. Dr. Wolfson, any recommendations for Jeff in Sarasota there regarding
Jeff, you are voicing the concerns of millions of Floridians. There's confusion. There's lack of transparency. There's lack of communication. We've had the same issue throughout the Tampa Bay area. I'm hearing things from the Panhandle, from South Florida. We are hoping that the state of Florida, the Department of Health, will get its act even more together and recognize the importance of communicating effectively. I expect that they will reach out to you in the next week to 10 days if they've got your name on the list, and they will tell you when you're rescheduled. But this helps to create confusion and distrust, and I'm hoping, again, that the governor's office and the Department of Health will open up and tell people what they don't know as well as what they know, and to work very hard in collaboration with the federal government. It can't be done without that, to make this incredible logistic effort work. And it's not going to happen overnight. This is going to take weeks and weeks and weeks for it to happen. In the meantime, all we can suggest is please, please be patient. And remember, just having the vaccine doesn't mean that you cannot suffer from this disease. You can still give it to other people. So, and you can still possibly get it. So wear your mask, you know, wash your hands, socially distance. As everyone has said, we are not out of the woods here yet. We're in the middle of a dark winter. It'll be the end of the summer or sometime in the fall, if we're lucky, when we'll be able to vaccinate enough people to begin to know whether herd immunity is possible.
Thank you so much for public health. Thank you. Thank you so much for reinforcing that message. Can't say it enough, Doctor. He's Dr. Jay Wolfson, USF Health, Morsani College of Medicine. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be here. Be safe and be well.
Wash your hands and wear a mask. Dr. Chet Nielsen is with us, Director of Infection Protection, Prevention rather, and Control at UF Health Jax. Dr. Nielsen, welcome back to the Florida Roundup. What supply of vaccines do you expect over the next week at the UF Health Jax?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Here at UF Health Jacksonville, we're really exhausting our vaccine supply. So at this point, what we have scheduled, it matches up with how much vaccine we have in our hospital. And once that's done, we're being told very clearly by the state not to expect any more vaccines moving forward. So we have about a week and a half of appointments that we can fulfill. Most of those are second dose shots. And then after that, we share the fate with the rest of the healthcare systems, and we are not expected to receive any more from the state of Florida.
And so you're not making any appointments, no expectations about late January, February, or beyond?
Yeah, that's correct. The only appointments we currently have on our books here for UF Health Jacksonville are already pre-scheduled and have doses accounted for those second shots. So
those include second shots.
Quite disheartening, but as others have said here on the call already, we share the fate with the rest of the hospitals that the state of Florida is pivoting away from supplying hospitals to do the work, and they're moving it out to local counties and cities to vaccinate the masses.
Dr. Nielsen, stick with us. We want to remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Lots of calls coming into the Roundup about challenges getting a COVID vaccine. Marcus is in Jacksonville. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hi, Melissa. Marcus, I'm your biggest Twitter fan and stan, and congratulations on the folio cover.
Oh, thank you.
Comment is that the failure starts with Governor DeSantis. He's role modeling the president who shall not be named. The lack of leadership started in Washington. It flows downhill. I'm really glad that they've appointed Dr. Kessler to handle the vaccine and coordinate the vaccine distribution. Competence gives me help. My question is entirely selfish. I'm just outside the second group getting the vaccine. Any thoughts on what the third group will be for people with pre-existing conditions and when we can expect the third group to be opened up?
Yeah,
take
Marcus.
My answer off the air. Thank
thanks.
You.
Thanks for that. Chad Nielsen, UF Health Jax. We have been asked that question by so many different people. When can that next tranche of the population hope to be vaccinated? People with immunocompromised issues, everyone who's not 65 but really wants the vaccine as soon as possible.
Yeah, we obviously know the demand is really out there, and folks like us in the hospital setting definitely want to be able to push those vaccines to you. But being as our supply is limited, there's really no timetable at this point. We know that the incoming Biden administration is pledging to do 100 million doses in the first 100 days. And that's all well and good, but that starts at the top. The federal government has to procure those vaccinations. They have to send it to the state, and then it has to be distributed per the state. And what we're seeing right now is that it's an extremely slow rollout in the state of Florida.
Let me jump in with a follow-up, because as all of us know in talking to you over these months, you are part of the National Guard, and you do get called up from time to time. Could you anticipate being called up to help with this federal effort and the role of the National Guard in all this that new President Biden says he will be activating?
Yeah, so you're right. I'm part of the Florida Air National Guard here based in Jacksonville, Florida, at the 125th Fighter Wing. And we do have a possibility of being not only activated, but deployed across the state to help support this effort. We know that hospitals are being pivoted away from. We know that city and county health departments oftentimes lack the resources needed to do mass point of distribution for vaccination. So it's entirely likely that Florida National Guard will be activated. Some already have been. You can see it in the pictures from the Regency Center here in Jacksonville that Florida Army National Guard are standing watch at the doors and helping to logistically move things along. If there's one thing that we're really good at here in Florida, it's having the National Guard respond to emergencies and disasters. And as you saw with the testing sites early in the pandemic across the state, the Florida National Guard was heavily involved and did an excellent job. So it's entirely reasonable and likely that some of us will get activated again to help distribute vaccine.
Quick call here from Miami. Joe, you are up next. I'll let you know, Joe, we've got only about a minute or so.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just got the shot out of Marlin. I had no problem. I signed up online. Channel 7 gave out the number. I punched it in. And I got a recording, and then I got a person. And then I got the, I printed out the form. It was no problem. And I went down. Everything was fine. But I'm one of the few people that are from Florida. All the tags are New York and Quebec, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, and the they're arguing with people because people are waving. I heard this one guard told another guard, he says, he's waving his Venezuelan passport in my face and saying, I got to do it. I got to give it to him. And then another one was waving her checkbook in front of the, and that was her, that's all she had. So they're just getting in line, whether they got the right things. And the guard, the National Guard or Army,
Joe,
is not pulling them out of line right away.
Yeah, Joe, I hear you, and I appreciate you sharing that experience there at Marlins Park in Miami, as it sounds like perhaps some out-of-towners there trying to get vaccines here on this Friday.
More to come as we hear from a former FEMA director about the federal ramp-up in getting the vaccines out. That's next on the Florida Roundup.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. While President Joe Biden has spent his first days in office focused on the pandemic, signing a slew of executive orders and unveiling his national strategy to fight the virus. Even before he was inaugurated Wednesday, Biden said he would use the National Guard and the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help distribute vaccines. Governor Ron DeSantis dismissed that effort. He said using those agencies was a big mistake, even saying Florida didn't need FEMA camps, in his words, to handle the vaccine distribution. Craig Fugate has some thoughts on that. He's the former Federal Emergency Management Agency Administrator, also former director for Florida's Emergency Management Division. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you. What's your reaction, first off, to the governor's comments saying it would be a mistake to utilize FEMA or the Guard here in Florida to distribute the COVID vaccines?
Well, as I always like to say, if you're able to turn away resources, it must not be that bad yet.
So, in other words, you don't think the governor should be turning away that kind of help? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if we are able to increase the amount of vaccinations that are available, and the goal is to get vaccinations into as many arms as possible, I would want to leave my options open as to the resources we could use to get that going. So it may not be needed today, but as vaccine production continues to ramp up, we're going to have to pick up the pace from what we've seen so far. And, you know, as everybody said, the limiting factor is the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But as that increases that supply, we want to make sure everybody has all the resources to use to get as many people vaccinated as we can.
Can you tell us, as a former FEMA administrator, how that federal agency would work in conjunction with the National Guard and the states to get more shots into arms? Tell us about the logistics of how you think this might unfold.
Well, first of all, the federal government's not going to take over the National Guard. What they did is they signed an executive order extending the funding and the use by the states of the National Guard to support COVID response and the vaccination programs, and are funding that at 100%. So whether or not the governor wants to use the National Guard or not, it's their call. But the president has made it clear that by using the Guard on state active duty or in Title 32 status to support this, that the federal government's extended that and will pay for it. And what FEMA's doing is they're putting together teams and resources to support communities at the state's request to set up vaccination centers. They've set up a coordination center at FEMA headquarters to reach across all the federal agencies. And an example, if you remember early on when the Army Corps of Engineers was building temporary hospitals at the beginning of COVID, those are some of the things that FEMA can coordinate on behalf of the state. And already in Washington state, FEMA has activated incident management teams to support vaccination sites. So this goal to be able to staff 100 large sites is based upon having that capability ready to go to support the state's effort based upon vaccine becoming available enough to start moving into higher speed, higher gear to get as many people vaccinated. So a lot of this, again, is not being done to supersede the states. It's building capability and resources for the states as more vaccinations become available.
And let me ask you about how this might work in terms of money. President Biden says he'd like to see state and local governments to be reimbursed for their expenses, vaccinations, PPE, and more. How might this impact FEMA's budget, and how do you see that being handled?
Well, FEMA's already planned for this, and what we had recommended in the transition planning was to go to 100% federal funding for this. Right now, FEMA was already providing funds for these vaccination programs, but it was at 75% federal share, 25% state and local. And as Governor DeSantis and others are wrestling with the state's budget, they're projecting a revenue shortfall. So by increasing the cost share to 100%, this will, I think, increase the amount of resources the state can bring to bear with the federal government paying for that. And as far as the FEMA budget goes, they planned for this. This is in their budget. And because they were already funding 75% of it, the additional 25% is not seen to be a showstopper. It's something that they're currently able to do with the existing funding.
Let's take some phone calls, Craig. Stick with us. It is 305-995-1800, talking about the Biden administration's national strategy for pandemic response here. Just really a matter of, 2.5 days into the Biden administration. Laura in Jacksonville, we are asking folks about their experiences trying to get vaccinated. Laura, you're up next. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. In Jacksonville, I have two parents over the age of 80. We were pretty successful getting them appointments and getting vaccinated, one at a city site, one at a county site. My in-laws are in St. John's County, and that has proven to be very challenging, including my husband and I getting up at 5 in the morning to be on the website when it opens at 6 a.m. I think having the website registration is certainly understandable to do it efficiently, but to expect people in their 80s to be able to navigate that is maybe asking too much. I wondered why this couldn't have been paired with the DMV or state ID cards. The state of Florida knows everyone's age that has one of those cards and could have given folks first dibs for registration by their birthday on their license. Just an idea.
Laura, great idea. We've heard that same idea expressed down here in South Florida, for instance, where folks younger than 65 have been successful in getting appointments through the online system, that they weren't kicked out when they entered in their real date of birth, for instance. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Kay, you're up next in Zephyr Hills. Go ahead, Kay. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello. I just got my Pfizer vaccine, the first shot this morning. Yesterday, I got an automated call from the VA. I am a veteran. And they said that to be at the Tampa VA hospital tomorrow, which is today, between 9 and 11. I showed up around 10. I parked in the parking garage. Walk across the street, and they had it all laid out, different people in different places. They took your temperature. You went in. There was a line 6 feet apart. Everybody had their mask on. And then there were different people at different, you know, set up at different areas where mm-hmm. you went to sign in. And then you went to the person who gave you your shot. And then they set up your appointment for you in the next 21 days. So I just show up in 21 days at the same time.
Great to hear. Kay, thanks for your service to the country, and wonderful to hear that you've got a smooth experience there getting vaccinated at your Veterans Administration service facility. Craig, I wanted to ask you, with Kay's experience there, the experience that we heard earlier from Laura in Jacksonville, as first at the state level and then as you directed FEMA at the national level, multiple avenues of distribution for emergency supplies after a national disaster, of course, are really important. Does that help or hinder in a vaccination program when you've got VA, county health, state health, hospitals, pharmacies, Publix, when you have all these different avenues? Is that helpful or is that harmful to distribution?
No, it's what you want. Again, if we had enough vaccination, you wouldn't hear about the shortfalls. What you want to do is reduce the barriers to getting a shot. You want it as easy as possible. And there's a second part to this they haven't gotten to that's going to be critically important. And that is taking the vaccination to the hard to reach, the homeless, people that are shut-ins, people don't use technology. You're already starting to see some communities using their paramedics to go to homes to do vaccinations. And as we have more vaccine, what we want is to reduce the barrier to getting as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible to get to that herd immunity that Dr. Fauci talks about that may take us well into the summer. This is why we know this was, in many cases, the President Biden has said this will get worse before it gets better. But they're taking the steps now to increase supply, increase the materials like the PPE that's needed. But ultimately, we're going to have to move out of people coming to the vaccine and move towards taking the vaccine to people who otherwise would get missed or overlooked.
Would get missed. And Craig, let's squeeze in one more call. It's Robbie in Tampa. Go ahead, Robbie, quickly.
Hi. You know, I'm a physician. I have diabetes. I'm 68 years old. Here I am hearing from Texas that they got the first shot and the second shot. And I hear from friends from New York who are not physicians, they already got the shot. Why are we not getting anything done here?
Yeah. Robbie, thanks for that. I hear the frustration in your voice. With 1 minute left, Craig Fugate, former FEMA administrator, what's your final thought for everyone out there listening who's so frustrated?
It's going to take time, but it will get better as more vaccine becomes available, as we are able to get more shots given, this will turn the corner. But as President Biden told everybody, this will not happen today. It won't happen tomorrow. It won't happen next week, but it will happen.
Craig, have you gotten a vaccination?
No, I'm not in the categories yet to be vaccinated.
You aged him a little bit, Tom.
No, well, you know, he was a former first responder.
I know.
So I didn't know
yeah.
if that was quite enough.
That's
done
a good
plenty
point.
Of work in those trenches. Craig, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. Very important to hear from you. Craig Fugate, former FEMA administrator, also former director for Florida's Emergency Management Division.
We will all have to just be patient. That's the message here on the Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Denise Royal and Heather Schatz are the producers.
Jason Zabka, the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, WLRN's Director of Radio Operations, and our technical supervisor is Peter Mertz. Engineering help each and every week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great weekend, everyone, and keep masking up. We'll be back next Friday.